Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klapones, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on The Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. Oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. Oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
The atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, your dearly beloved Son, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. I got it out of order, I'm sorry. For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I offer this one up for Keela, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Pope Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. So how are you today, John?
Exhausted. Today was a pretty exhausting day, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's part of, it comes with the territory.
It does. It does.
So anyway, did you get my text message?
I did. Didn't really have time to read it because I got it just as I was getting in the car. So
I want to spend the last 2.5 minutes of the show praying the divine praises.
Okay.
I want to do that every day.
Okay.
I think it's important for everyone to pray the divine praises, and I don't think you can get much more important than the divine praises.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
All right, so let's see. What have we got for a daily update? You've got a show tonight. You want to tell us about that show?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I have not vetted this person out as far as what her specific religious beliefs are. In a specific denomination or what have you. I've not vetted her out as far as what her particular political views are. So, who knows? It might be we agree with some and don't agree with others. But I do believe that we as Christians, as Catholics, have a responsibility to point out good when we see it. And she has started a 501c3 charity. And I just think it's real neat what they're doing. And it's called Blessings or Miracles. And that's the show tonight. It's about her program. And I think it's a good idea. I think it's exactly the kind of things that we're supposed to do. And I think I'm going to probably open it up with a little bit of a monologue to speak about my views on it, because we pray to God for miracles, okay? And a wise man once told me there's three ways that God answers prayers, right? It's
right.
Yes, no, and later. And usually when the answer is no, it's because he has something better in mind. But sometimes he intends to answer your prayer, but the timing is going to be on his time, not your time.
Exactly.
And the reason why I bring that up is because sometimes we need a big miracle, or sometimes we need more than one big miracle. Sometimes the greatest miracles that God works in our life are the succession of little miracles that get us to the big one.
Exactly.
You understand? In other words,
yes, I do.
We have to stay alive until the big miracle comes. And it's a succession of little miracles. And somebody may look at that and say, well, why doesn't God just give us the big miracle? Well, the succession of small miracles are causing you to be dependent. They're causing you to grow in faith, to realize that you have to rely on Him, that by yourself you can do nothing. That's kind of what this ministry is about. sometimes we're called in the gap to stand in the gap and do little things. Sometimes the miracle that we are in someone's life doesn't have to be the earth-shattering, you know, miracle that, you know, you give someone $1 million. Okay? I mean, it's great if you're in a position to do that. Okay? But sometimes all you can give a person is enough to get through today. And, you know, there's a tendency to, you know, view that as a handout, but sometimes it's not a handout. Sometimes a person's trying as hard as they can. They're giving everything they can, and they just need, you know, that next step. They need to be able to keep going. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. I think what she's doing with this ministry is really good, and that's why I wanted to feature it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. So anyway, then Terry has a show on Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And he hasn't told me what his topic will be, so I've suggested that maybe he'll want to talk about University of Georgia football for next year.
Okay.
That was supposed to be a joke.
Well, I mean, if you're retired at college football, there's only Notre Dame. Do you know what the two kinds of college...
There's only the University of Georgia.
Do you know what the two kinds of college football players are, Richard?
University of Georgia and losers.
There's players who played for Notre Dame and players who wish that they played for Notre Dame. Those are the two kinds.
No, there's players that play for the University of Georgia and losers. That's the two kinds.
I will say this. I think Georgia is one of... Urban Meyer came out with a list of 8 teams that he thought were legitimate teams that could win the national championship. And I think if you come out with a list like that, Georgia's obviously on that list.
Oh, yeah, Georgia is on that list.
Georgia is on that list. Now, if I were off the top of my head to pick the 7 other teams that I think are capable of winning a national championship this year, I would have to say Ohio State.
Yep.
I'm not going to say Michigan, even though they won it last year. Michigan's just losing too much. They're losing their coach. They're losing just too much talent for me to believe that Michigan's not going to take a step back.
Correct.
I don't think they're going to fall off the map. I don't think they're going to be 7-5. But I think they're going to fall off that national championship shelf.
Yes, I definitely think they will fall off.
Yeah. Other teams that I think are capable of winning a national championship this year, I'm going to say Alabama, obviously, always just based on the talent alone.
No, they've lost a lot of talent, plus they lost their coach. In fact... Big Al has even entered the transfer portal.
Yeah. I think Kalen DeBoer puts them in contention for a national championship.
I don't think they've got the talent for it this year.
Yeah. Other teams that I think are capable of winning a national championship this year, a couple of them might surprise you, but these are teams that are sneaky good, and they've been sneaking up on paper, and you better not take these teams lightly, okay? And one of them is Oregon.
Yeah, DeBoer's former team.
Yeah. No, he was with... excuse me.
No,
he was with Washington. Yeah. No, I don't think Washington's in contention.
No.
I think that is a team that is going to fall off the map from, a team that played in the national championship game.
Well, they've, They've never been on the map except for last year.
Yeah. Another team that I think could be sneaky good this year, Florida State. I think they could be sneaky good. I think they could possibly contend for a championship. I honestly believe if they can get the passing game kinks worked out, I think my Fighting Irish are contenders for a national championship this year. So
yes.
That's a handful of teams. I don't know if I named eight, but that's a handful of teams. And there's a whole lot of pretenders. There's a whole lot of teams that every year they say, oh, this team, this team, this team. Stop trying to sell me on Penn State, okay?
And Clemson had a really good recruiting class this year.
They did, which I think makes them contenders maybe next year or the year after.
Correct.
I don't think Clemson is contenders this year, not for a championship.
Well, you know what IPTE stands for, right?
No.
It's probation time again, y'all.
So
actually it stands for I pay 10 a year.
Yeah. If I had to pick a favorite right now, the team that, in other words, I'm talking a betting favorite, not a personal favorite. But if I had to pick a betting favorite right now, I think it would have to be Ohio State. That would be the money pick.
I think the money pick would be Georgia. I mean, Kirby Smart, yeah, we lost a lot of talent, but Kirby Smart has got a great recruiting class last year and this year.
Well, Ohio State had one of the best defenses in the country last year, and they've added some great players to that, like Caleb Downs, okay?
And who had the best defense in the country last year? Can you say UGA?
I'm not diminishing Georgia, but I think adding Chip Kelly on offense to run the offense at Ohio State is going to be the difference maker. I think that they're going to cruise through the Big Ten. They're going to secure that number one seed. So I think that puts them in the driver's seat to win the national championship. Now, just because they're in the driver's seat to win it doesn't mean they're going to win it. I'm just saying I think they're the betting favorite at this point. But
yes.
Georgia's certainly in the mix. And, some of these other teams, like I mentioned, are going to be in the mix. Now, there's a couple of teams I think are going to be sneaky good, but I don't think they're going to be national championship good. I think they're going to be good enough to sneak up on a couple of people and raise some eyebrows, but they're not going to be national championship good. And that's among those, Ole Miss is one. Texas A&M
A&M has
another.
A good squad.
Yep. Now, who's your pick for, give me three teams that are going to fall off the, off the edge, off the ledge. We've already named one, Washington.
Michigan.
Give me two.
Michigan, Washington, and Penn State.
I think Michigan is going to take a step back, but I don't see them taking 10 steps back.
I see them going 9-3 this year.
Okay. But I don't see Washington getting to 9 games.
No, I see Washington going about 7-5.
I don't know that they can get to 7. In the Big Ten, I don't know that they can get to 7.
I don't think they're in the Big Ten anymore. I think the Big Ten is gone.
No, but you're talking about the Pac-12. They moved from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten.
Oh, that's right. And USC has moved to the ACC.
Now, USC is Big Ten also. USC went Big Ten also.
I thought USC went ACC.
Nope, they went to the Big Ten.
Well, then what team from California went to the ACC?
That was Stanford.
Ah.
Actually, and California. Stanford and Cal both went to the ACC.
All right, so let's get back to the daily update, because nobody's supporting our advertisers to hear you and I talk about college football as much as we love it and wish they would. So anyway, so we don't know what Terry's topic is, but I've pushed him on it and told him I need a topic so that I can tell everybody about it. On Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, Ken's show is going to be discussing how the first Christians were saved. You know, I'm going to not join my prayer group Friday morning to listen to this, because this show is going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing show. And Ken's show is always good. I mean, I always listen to the replay on his show. But this one I'm going to listen live. And yes, I called his show a replay, not a replay. Because when you replay our shows, you are praying with us again. So it's a replay.
Yeah. And I think that we should boost that show too, because that's a very important show, because you know, we've had that argument for 500 and something years. About how we are saved, and to anyone who's listening, hate to break it to you, but you have to participate in your own salvation. Sorry, that's
yes,
the way
you
it
do.
Is. You
yes,
gotta
you
participate.
Do.
You gotta cooperate with those graces. It's all God doing the work. You can't do it on your own, but you gotta cooperate with those graces. And that's just a fact. Anybody that thinks that you're going to be able to sit on the lounge chair and drink margaritas and be saved, sorry. Not going to work
so
that
anyway,
way.
William does not have a topic for Catholicism Rocks at 10 a.m. on Saturday yet. He said he's tossing around a couple of ideas, so I'll be interested to see that. And I'm sure he'll tell me.
Did you see the listing that someone put out, a Catholic publication put out a list of the top 100 blogs that you must follow, Catholic blogs that you must follow? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Well, one, Sir William of Hemsworth was number 76. So congratulations
nice.
On that.
Congratulations,
yeah,
William.
And well-deserved. Absolutely
very
well-deserved.
Deserved.
I'd like to see him even higher than that.
He deserves to be higher than that. And Ken should be on that list, too, because Ken is one of the best apologists and does some of the best blogging I've ever seen.
He's really putting out some great stuff.
So anyway, on Burnt Toast and Coffee at noon Eastern, he's going to be doing an interview with Amy Brooks of CatholicInfluencers.com. Did you take a look at that site last night?
I did, and I'm intrigued, because that's going to be an interview I'm going to make sure to listen to. I might not be able to listen to it live, because I might be at the parish festival. But if I don't catch it live, I'm definitely going to catch it in the archive.
Oh, I'm going to catch this one live.
So I have a show that I want to do on Sunday that I wanted to announce.
Well,
to
hang
you
on.
Now.
Let me get through Saturday.
Okay. All right.
Saturday night, Lisa Marie Nicole, our very own Catholic version of Striper, is going to do a special online concert where she's going to cover a lot of Pat Benatar's music. Some of the songs she's going to cover, Love is a Battlefield, Hit Me with Your Best Shot, Heartbreaker. Hell is for Children. She better cover Hell is for Children, because I've already told people she was. So, and then she's gonna mix in some of her own music. She's going to be playing her newest song. And if you have not heard her newest song, you need to go to Lisa M. Nicole Music on Facebook and check it out. I think it's called United We Stand. Yes, United We Stand.
Yeah, great, great, great song, great, great video for it.
And I made the cut in the video.
That's wonderful.
Even if it was me with a beard, which I have shaved off now.
Nothing wrong with beards.
No, I didn't say there was. I had one for a while.
Yeah.
But I got tired of it.
Okay.
So, now let's talk about what you want to do on Sunday.
Well, on Sunday I'm going to do a show. I'm going to talk about some of the latest polling numbers for the 2024 general election. And what we can glean from those numbers, and I'm not just going to look at, you know, not every poll is the same. You have to look at a lot of different things. Sampling is one particular party. I'm not going to say which party, but one particular party is famous for oversampling in their polls.
Yes.
Like making a representation that, you know, 60% of the American people belong to their political ideology when it's more like half that, okay?
Right.
And that's called oversampling. Well, oversampling is going to skew the results of a poll, and it's not accidental. These are what are known as push polls. They're trying to drive public opinion rather than reflect public opinion. What they're trying to do is they're trying to say, well, this poll shows X candidate is doing, you know, better than all the other pollsters, in order to kind of encourage the deflated side and discourage the side that's actually leading. Perfect example of a push poll. Newsweek, on the eve of the election or a couple of days before the election in 1984, released a poll showing Walter Mondale leading Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
That didn't work out very well.
No, it didn't.
Reagan won 49 states, so that poll was not really reflective of what was going on in the country.
And I honestly thought we should have changed the law and given Reagan a chance for a third term and do something he'd never done, and that's take Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing about it is the man never spent a dollar in Minnesota and never spent a minute in Minnesota, and he still only lost the state by 4,000 votes. Ronald Reagan came within 4,000 votes of sweeping all 50 states. That's pretty incredible when you think about it.
Yes.
And, you know, had he spent just a little bit of money, a little bit of time, he would have gone 50 for 50. But, you know, polls sometimes are a little bit harder to decipher, okay? And I'm going to go into a lot. I used to, you know, Scott Rasmussen, the pollster, right?
Yes.
I had him on my show years ago, and he told me about polls and how to read the internals. Sometimes the plus or minus doesn't tell you the whole story. When you say candidate A is winning by 3 points, well, 3 points is not 3 points. It's not always the same. If candidate A is winning 51 to 48, then candidate B is in trouble.
Yes.
Okay? But if candidate A is winning 41 to 38, okay, If Janet is the incumbent, he's in trouble. Even though this poll looks like he's leading, he's in trouble because he's only polling 41%, which means that 59% of the voters have already decided he needs to go.
Exactly.
And candidate B's job is to consolidate at least the majority of those voters in his camp, and then candidate A is done. So we're going to talk about the current poll numbers and what they really mean, the picture that they are really painting for the 2024 election, and we'll do that on Sunday. I think it's going to be an interesting show.
I think it'll be a great show. So anyway, that's it for the daily update. And now let's talk about our saint of the day. And our saint of the day is Saint George. And Saint George, that's right. He was a heroic Catholic soldier and defender of our faith. He dared to criticize the tyrannical empire and was subjected to heroic torture or horrible torture. So it's uncertain when St. George was born, and historians continue to debate to this day. However, his death date is estimated to be April 23rd, 303. The first piece of evidence of George's existence appeared within the works of the Bollandist David Papenbrock, Jane Boland, and Godfrey Henschen's Bibliotheca Hagiographica Graeca. George was one of several names listed in the historical text, and Pope Gelasius claimed George was one of the saints whose names are justly reverenced among men, but whose actions are known only to God. George was born to a Gerontios and Polychronia, a Roman officer and a Greek native of Lydda. Both were Christians from noble families of the Anici, and George, Georgios in the original Greek, was raised to follow their faith. When George was old enough, he was welcomed into Diocletian's army. By his late 20s, George became a tribunus and served as an imperial guard for the emperor at Nicomedia. On February 24, 303, Diocletian, who hated Christians, announced that every Christian the army passed would be arrested and every other soldier should offer a sacrifice to the Roman gods. George refused to abide by the order and told Diocletian, who was angry but grateful, greatly valued his friendship with George's father. When George announced his belief before his peers, Diocletian was unable to keep the news to himself. In an effort to save George, Diocletian attempted to convert him to believe in the Roman gods, offered him land, money, and slaves in exchange for offering a sacrifice to the Roman gods, and made several other offers that George refused. Finally, after exhausting all other options, Diocletian ordered George's execution. In preparation for his death, George gave his money to the poor and was sent for several torture sessions. He was lacerated on a wheel of swords and required resuscitation 3 times, but still George did not turn from God. On April 23, 303 AD, George was decapitated before Nicomedia's outer wall. His body was sent to Lydda for burial, and other Christians went to honor George as a martyr. There are several stories about George fighting dragons, but in the Western version, a dragon, most likely a crocodile, made its nest at a spring that provided water to Selene, believed to be modern-day Cyrene in Libya.
The people were unable to collect water and so attempted to remove the dragon from its nest on several occasions. It would temporarily leave its nest when they offered it a sheep each day, until the sheep disappeared and the people were distraught. This was when they decided that a maiden would be just as effective as sending a sheep. The townspeople chose the victim by drawing straws. This continued until one day when the princess's straw was drawn. The monarch begged for her to be spared, but the people would not have it. She was offered to the dragon, but before she could be devoured, George appeared. He faced the dragon, protected himself with the sign of the cross, and slayed the dragon. After saving the town, the citizens abandoned their paganism and were all converted to Christianity. Saint George stands out among other saints and legends because he is known and revered by both Muslims and Christians. It is said that Saint George killed the dragon near the sea in Beirut. Thus, Saint George Bay was named in his honor. Saint George's feast day is celebrated on April 23rd, but if it falls before Easter, it is celebrated on Easter Monday. The Russian Orthodox Church celebrates three Saint George feast days each year, April 23rd, as is expected, November 3rd to commemorate the consecration of a cathedral dedicated to him in Lydda, and on November 26th for when a church in Kyiv was dedicated to him. In Bulgaria, his feast is celebrated May 6th with the slaughter and roasting of a lamb. In Egypt, the Coptic Church of Alexandria calls St. George the Prince of Martyrs and celebrates on May 1. There is a second celebration on November 17th in honor of the first church dedicated to him. St. George is the patron saint of England and Catalonia, and his cross can be found throughout England. In older works, St. George is depicted wearing armor and holding a lance for fighting a dragon, which represents Christ's enemies. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
So I want to share a prayer about prayer to St. George with everybody. St. George, heroic Catholic soldier and defender of your faith, you dared to criticize the tyrannical emperor and were subjected to horrible torture. You could have occupied a high military position, but you preferred to die for your Lord. Obtain for us great grace of historic Christian courage that should mark the soldiers of Christ. Amen.
Yeah. And I will say this, when the Book of Revelation talks about the beast, it talks about one of the heads that was the beast. It's generally considered to be Nero. His name adds up to the number 666. But it talks about another beast who would rise up, from the dead, that would be like the reincarnation of Nero. And, Vespasian is the most likely candidate for that, because him and his son Titus led the siege against Jerusalem. But Diocletian could be a nominee, too. He was a monster. He was definitely one of the... And in fact, I would say, with the exception of Vespasian, who of course destroyed the temple, my guess would be that Diocletian probably was running second in terms of the number of martyrs that were killed under his reign. He was
He was not a nice dude. He was a holy terror. And he hated Christians. If he's not second, it's because he's number one.
Well, in terms of killing Christians, he may be very well be number one. But the total number of fatalities would have to go to Vespasian because, you know, when he destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, there were a million people lost. So Vespasian would have to be number one in terms of total murders. But in terms
right.
of martyrdom of Christians, it could very well be Diocletian or Domitian or one of those guys. But Diocletian is definitely in the running. He was definitely not a good dude by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he was not. He was definitely not. But, you know, he hated Christians, and with all due respect, we don't like him.
Well, with all due disrespect.
Well, yeah.
We don't have to respect him. We know where he's at.
Well, and I don't respect him. He has nothing to do with my life, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, one of the most important symbols, again, from the book of Revelation, what I think is one of the most important symbols is that in chapter 12, Satan appears as a huge red dragon with seven heads and ten horns, and yet the same seven-headed, ten-horned dragon appears in chapter 17 referring to the Roman Empire. So it's showing us that the Roman Empire was the personification of Satan himself. That's how evil it was.
And I bet you all of the Roman Empires would be doing barrel rolls in their grave to discover that the Roman Empire didn't really fall. It became the Roman Catholic Church. At least that's my theory. No, it became the Roman. It fell. It may have been conquered, but it fell into the Roman Catholic Church. Think about that for a minute.
It was conquered by grace. It was conquered by Christ.
Yes.
Not in the classic way that we think of Jesus conquered by love. He didn't
right.
conquer by force of hate. He conquered by force of love.
Right. So, yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. So anyway, St. George?
Pray for us.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
St. Joseph, terror of demons,
pray for us.
Amen and amen. Guys, y'all all need to get some blessed salt and spread it around the outside of your property and protect your home from evil spirits and from the enemy. Seriously, and if you can't get blessed salt, get a box of rock salt and take it to your priest and get him to bless it. And then put it around the outside, the perimeter of your property, and keep demons away. That's my opinion, and I reserve the right to be right.
Amen.
So, all right, we got...
And a St. Benedict medal wouldn't hurt either.
Oh, no. I've got St. Benedict medals all over my house. In fact, I'm looking at a crucifix with the St. Benedict medal. St. Benedict.
Pray for us.
St. Scholastica.
Pray for us.
St. Boniface.
Pray for us.
Amen and amen. And, you know, St. Boniface is really relevant these days, even though nobody remembers him, because
what is all this New World religion? Well, a lot of it is all this New Age paganism. And what did St. Boniface do in Germany? He converted the pagans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. There's nothing new about the New Age. All
no,
the so-called New Age is old, discredited paganism and heresies, long discredited, and repackaged and to a new generation. That's all the New Age is. There's nothing new about it.
No, there's nothing new about it.
Yeah.
And we need more devotion to St. Boniface these days to convert all these so-called New Age pagans back to the true church, and that is the Church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. Amen and amen.
Right. A lot of these, you know, pagan, offshoots, people don't want to talk about where they actually originated. For instance, Wicca. Oh, it's just, it's being in tune with the earth, okay? Well, who is the originator of Wicca? A follower of Anton LaVey, the writer of the Satanic Bible.
Correct.
So that's where your Wicca came from. There's nothing harmless or serene about it.
I think it was founded in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
But it's yes, but its undertones are absolutely malevolent. It's not, there's nothing, you know, harmless or benign about it.
No, there's not. It's all about the enemy. And the enemy uses this whole feel-good religion bit to get you away from Jesus Christ. And he's succeeding every single day that he does that. Every single day.
You know, Fulton Sheen, Bishop Fulton Sheen was brilliant, and he said the devil is not going to come, not going to show up in horns and a trident and a pointy tail. He's going to show up disguised as everything that you've ever wanted.
Exactly.
The devil's not stupid. He's not stupid. And he's going to disguise himself in pretty packaging. But you know what? A pile of dog crap wrapped up in Christmas paper, it's still a pile of
dog crap. Yep. So anyway, let's get to these divine praises, because I want to start ending every show with the divine praises. And by the way, guys, May is the month of the rosary, so on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're going to be praying the rosary. On Monday, we're going to be praying the joyful mysteries, on Wednesday, the glorious mysteries, and on Friday, the sorrowful mysteries. And we're going to pray different versions every week. So we're gonna pray different spiritual rosary every week. Blessed be God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be his most sacred heart. Blessed be his most precious blood. Blessed be Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary Most Holy. Blessed be her holy and immaculate conception. Blessed be her glorious assumption. Blessed be the name of Mary, Virgin and Mother. Blessed be Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse. Blessed be God in his angels and in his saints. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So everybody, I want you to have a blessed rest of your Tuesday. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. for those that use military time, 1500 Eastern Time, which means 2 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Mountain and noon on the Pacific Left Coast, so you can listen at your lunchtime. In the name of the Father and of the Son.
Hope to see some of you tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Time.
Absolutely.
If you're able to make that show.
I'll be listening late because I've got a Knights of Columbus Admissions Committee meeting tonight.
I understand.
And the Grand Knight is on the Admissions Committee. The Grand Knight's on every committee.
I used to be on Admissions Committee.
Well, you need to get back on it because we need more knights. And if you're a Catholic gentleman and you're not a knight, I've got one question for you, and that's, why aren't you? Think about that, guys. So anyway, the guy on the phone is John Benko. I'm Richard Pettis, and we'll see you tomorrow at 3 p.m. in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. Love you, man.